Well, we finally order, and then they come with the most beautiful presentation of a meal. Have you seen that? I mean, the plates are like this big. The food's only like this much, but it's this huge plate. And they bring this thing up, and they show it to you, and it's amazing. Like, the potatoes look like the Ko Olau Mountains, and they got stuff like palm trees, a volcano to the filet mignon. You know, and some vegetables look like driftwood.
Aloha, and welcome to Words of New Hope, coming your way from New Hope Christian Fellowship in Honolulu. When Jesus entered Jerusalem on Palm Sunday, the people shouted, "Hosanna, Hosanna." They wanted to make him their king. But a few short days later, the same crowd was shouting, "Crucify him, crucify him." So what caused them to change their opinion so quickly? Well, here's Pastor Wayne Cordero with a message given on Palm Sunday entitled, "An Appointment with God."
You know, when your expectations are broken, isn't it true? Glad can turn to mad that fast. Love can turn to hate that fast. You know what Jesus was saying? Because your expectations are wrong of me, you will be so fickle, and that which you think is a zealous faith will turn to an intense hatred in just a few days. And I've come to dial in your expectations of what I have come to do. It's not to remove your problem. It's to change your heart and to save your soul. It's to bring likeness, even though the problems remain. It's not a rest from your problems, a rest in your problems. And I'll be there and I'll walk you through it. Is that all right? Because I'm going to put you back on this earth, Wayne, and it's not going to be all nice and cozy, and you won't be insulated from the problems of the world, but I'll walk with you. That's the relationship that I came to bring. Because before there was just you and your own abilities, but I'm going to come and walk with you through the valley of the shadow of death. But you'll still walk through it, but I'll be with you. Is that all right? Yeah, Lord, that's okay. Okay, let's go. See, if your expectation is wrong of God, you'll love him one day, you'll hate him the next. And God says, nah, you won't be a steady light for those trying to find their way home if your expectations are wrong. So the first thing he does is he's going to calibrate our expectations of who Jesus is. The second thing that he's going to do is not only recalibrate our expectations so that we won't be going from glad to mad, but there's a group of people in the midst of the crowd, and they were the Pharisees. And up on the screen, let's read what happens here as they tell Jesus to rebuke the disciples. Let's read it. Go. "Some of the Pharisees in the crowd said to him, 'Teacher, rebuke your disciples.' But Jesus answered, 'I tell you, if these become silent, the stones will cry out.'" You see, they had a wrong perspective. You know what they were saying? Hey, tell your disciples, enough of this fanfare. We don't need all of this stuff. What's this palm leaves flying around, people putting their coats on the ground? We don't need any of this fancy stuff. That's all extra. And Jesus said, no. You're like people when that woman broke that alabaster vial and the disciples were grumbling, "We should have sold it. We don't need this extravagance." And I said, "You leave her alone." You see, this is what he said. If these don't cry out, the stones will cry out. In other words, I created people to give affection and praise to their king. And if you try to stop it, it's going to come out somewhere. I created people to give exuberant celebration to the presence of their king. And you don't want to stop that. And see, the second thing that he's going to correct is our perspective. Would you write that down? Our perspective, not only our expectation, but sometimes our perspective of the church goes off a little bit. Because we can be those Pharisees. We can come to church and say, hey, too many lights. There's all these people dancing around here, jumping around like jumping beans. What is all of this about? We don't need all of this stuff. These cameras, this stuff here. Get rid of all of this. Just give me the word, brother, the word, the word. That actually happened. There's a guy back here. I came in. I hadn't seen this guy before in New Hope. And I walked by and just trying to be polite, I said, "How are you? Good morning." And he looked at me and said, "If you would quit being a comedian here, I'd come more often." I said, "Whoa." I said, "What?" He said, "Yeah, we don't need all of that stuff. This is not a comic club." He said, "Just give me the word, brother, the word, the word." And I said, "Well, I said, you know, if you come to New Hope, you're going to laugh a little bit because it just kind of helps us to receive and learn. So you got to be willing to laugh. He said, nah, I don't need to be entertained. Just give me the word. So I said, well, if you don't want to be entertained, what's the option? You like to be bored? I can show you places that you'll be really bored at. But if you're going to be here, then we want to see the real things of life, the realities of life. And it helps you from not being so serious. He said, just give me the word. I thought, oh, man. I said, well, then you'll need to find a place where they don't laugh. And I know some real good ones where that happens. And I thought, you know, isn't that something? And as I said a couple weeks ago, we don't do the lights and the celebration to replace the presence of God. We do that to celebrate the presence of God. Because the presence of God is worthy of our very best. He deserves our best attention. He deserves everything that we have in exuberance. If they do that for a head of state going to the White House, how much more should we for the King of Kings who's in this place and came for us? Yeah. So I thought, Lord, you had to go in and you had to correct their perspectives back then. And you still have to do it today, lest in the crowd, we become Pharisaical. And we say, get rid of this, stop all of this stuff. And the Lord says, if you don't let these people cry out, the stones will cry out. And that wasn't the rolling stones either. The stones will cry out. I thought, you know, God's word is so precious. We want to honor it the best way we can. And this is up to Easter. Easter's a celebrated festive time. And we want to do that. I remember how the Lord showed me about honoring the word. And it's not just fluff. My wife and I were in Kauai some years ago. And we were with another couple. And we wanted to have a nice dinner in one of the evenings. So I called up Roy's, which is a really nice restaurant. And tried to make reservations for that night because they have a Roy's in Kauai. And they said, oh, we don't have any reservations. All booked. I said, the whole restaurant, like all night? They said, yeah, it's booked all the way to closing. Oh, man. So what about tomorrow night? I said, well, we can fit you in at this time, table of four. I said, I'll take it. And so I thought, wow, you got to plan, you know, in advance. And then I looked at their menu and I thought, man, I got to make a loan to go to dinner. This is amazing. But it's packed. People actually take out loans, I guess, to go to dinner there. They dress up, make a reservation so they can give them their money. And I thought, this is amazing. And you look at the price of those meals. Well, that second night came, and so we park and all dressed up. And you can see the restaurant. People are already waiting to get in. This is amazing. And as we were going towards it, off to the side down a little bit was this little Mexican restaurant. There were some lights flashing, and I heard a band in there singing, La Cucaracha, La Cucaracha. And so I said to my wife, I said, honey, I'm going to go check out this band and see. She said, honey, no. She said, that looks shady down there. She looks shady. I said, no, I'm just going to check out the music. I just want to check out the band. She said to me, it looks shady down there. Shady. Looks like a bar. I said, no, it's a Mexican restaurant. She said, honey. I said, I'm not going to smoke anything. I'm just going to go look. So she said, well, okay. I said, you just go on to Roy's and I'll meet you there. You're going to wait anyway. I'll be fine. And so I go in there and there's a little band, La Cucaracha, La Cucaracha. And that's kind of cool. And I look around. There's nobody in the place. No one was eating. I guess they're singing to the cockroaches, La Cucaracha, La Cucaracha. And then I picked up the menu, like, I'm just checking this place out, you know. And it's like tostadas and burritos and refried beans and whatever. It's like $5.95, $7.95, $5.95. I thought, whoa, honey, man, that's a lot cheaper over here, you know. But even though it was cheap and they had a band, nobody was eating. So anyway, I go out and meet my wife there, and they seat us at this fabulous table. It has a nice tablecloth, and then we get seated. They bring out, and three waiters come to our table now. One that spreads the napkin, another pours the water, and the third starts reading off the specials. And our specials for tonight, and la la la. And I just on and on and on and on and on. Well, we finally order. And then they come with the most beautiful presentation of a meal. Have you seen that? I mean, the plates are like this big. The food's only like this much, but it's this huge plate. And they bring this thing up and they show it to you. And it's amazing. Like the potatoes look like the Ko'olau Mountains. And they got stuff like palm trees, a volcano to the filet mignon, you know, and some vegetables look like driftwood. And it's just amazing. It's like a picture. And then, this is really cool, they take sauce, you know, because the plate's like this big and they got a lot of room to make up for. So they take sauce and they draw geometric designs all around. You notice that? It's like the constellation of Magellan and all of these things. And then they bring it to you and they kind of put it into orbit as they put it on your table. It's amazing. Isn't that right? And then they explain everything. But the truth of it is, when you cut into it, it's good. I mean, that stuff melts in your mouth, and we were having conversation of how good that meal is. And then I thought, as I was leaving there, after we had emptied our bank accounts, you know, we were leaving, and I saw that Mexican restaurant, still nobody was in there. And as I was walking by, I thought, you know what? I bet that restaurant, Roy's, and that Mexican restaurant, I bet they buy their vegetables from the same wholesaler. I bet they buy their potatoes from the same wholesaler. I bet they buy their fish from the same fish wholesaler. Did you know that they serve the same food in both places? Then why is this one packed and you have to make reservations to get in and pay through the nose and your firstborn child has to go to get a dinner, and over here it's $5.95, same food, and nobody goes? And I thought, why? Well, it's because these people, though they have the same food, they take time to prepare it. They marinate it. They then spice it. And then they do all of these nice things. And they take time to care for that food and then present it in an artistic, artful way because they value that. Whereas over here, they just take some, slap it on a tostada. Hey, la cucaracha. Whatever they say. I don't know what they say. Same food. But why are people swarming to one and not to the other? Why? Because different food? No, same food. It's just that one respects it and honors it so much more and presents it so much more, takes more time to present it than the other. And I thought, you know what, Lord? That's true. The word's a word, a word. But some just slap it and say, la cucaracha. But we want to, because why do we do all of this stuff? Because we honor the word of God. He is deserving of our best. He is deserving of our praise. He's deserving of our greatest amount of excellence. He will receive that because he's worthy of that. It's not just fanfare. And the Lord had to correct the perspective of the Pharisees that said, enough of this fanfare. And the Lord says, no. If they don't praise, I'll cause rocks to praise because I created my people for this. They're celebrating the presence of the king. And we want you to correct your perspective, he said to the Pharisees, because they're celebrating the presence of the king. You're saying it's just empty fanfare. It is not. Two lights for the church that the Lord wants to correct. One is our expectations of what his purpose was. The second is our perspective of the church, lest we become naysayers of the church. And how are people going to come through the church to find their way to port if we're naysaying the church ourselves? Two things before Easter that God dials in. And the third comes after he enters in through the gate called Beautiful. The very next morning, while he's in Jerusalem, having this appointment with Jerusalem and dialing in their expectation and their perspective so that people can find their way to port on Easter, the third is the very next day he goes to where the church is meeting, which is the temple, and he finds those who are money changers and dove sellers, and he drives them out of this area of the temple where they were allowed to do that, supposedly, and he wipes them out, makes room, just wipes them out. And then he says something very telling. He says, this is supposed to be a place of prayer for all nations. And I looked at that and I thought, what is he talking about? When I did some research, here's what I found out. that they were selling there. It's not that the Lord says no money changing, because we all know that they use Roman currency for the daily business affairs of commerce. But when you went to the temple to pay your tithes and your offerings, it was to be done in temple money, Jewish money, not in Roman currency. So in order to pay tithes or give offerings in Jewish money, you had to change it from your normal Roman currency and get Jewish currency or temple currency. And so they had money changers. The Lord knew that, and people knew that. That's not what he was upset about. Neither was it them selling kosher doves or unblemished animals, because if you came from 50 miles away, it was known that if you had to give a sacrifice, you would buy it there, a dove or whatever it might be. And so they would sell. That wasn't the problem. Here's what the problem was. It wasn't what they were selling. It was where they were selling it. I found out that they had been selling all of this in a place called the Court of the Gentiles, which is outside the temple on the outside. And it was really a place where non-Jews could come from all nations, anybody who would seek God. And there was a place set aside called the Court of the Gentiles. What they did, the Jewish people had taken up the court and now were selling doves and money changing for one another. And that became their own. In other words, they were saying there's no room for non-Jews. They had made the church into a members-only club. And what they were doing is they're making it more and more convenient to themselves. So instead of dispensing God's medicine of grace, it was the equivalent of them selling Christian breath mints to Christians and taking up the space. And when non-Christians would come, they'd say, we don't really want your kind. And the Lord said, we can't have that. You see, he came, and the third light he needed to dial in is this. He needed to correct our purpose. Would you write that in? Correct our purpose. Our purpose is the church. It's not a members-only club. No, the Lord says, I'm going to put a court of the Gentiles, or make room for those from all nations, all walks of life who are seeking God. People from other faiths that are realizing, oops, that's a dead end. I want to seek God. Is there a church that will embrace me even though I'm not there yet? Even though I'm sick or hurting, is there a church that has room for me? And Jesus, you see, one of the things the Pharisees didn't like about Jesus was he always had people from the world in tow with him wherever he went. See, he made friends with a woman of dubious reputation. He was with all the wrong people at the wrong places. He befriended a tax gatherer, a woman that was caught in adultery. He defended her from being stoned according to the Mosaic law. He touched lepers, and you weren't supposed to. He picked grain on the Sabbath, and he made Pharisees look like villains. The Pharisees despised him. And they said, you're always bringing these worldly people with you. Well, that morning he brought some of his friends with him to the temple, and there was no room for them. And so you know what he did? He made room. And he was saying, this is supposed to be a house of prayer for all nations. You see, sometimes we forget that our purpose is to make room for those who are outside of the kingdom but seeking to get in, to make room for them. And to be willing to go to the highways and byways and invite them in to say, there is room for you. God made room for you. And we can't take that up. We will always keep our heart open because there's many of those that he is bringing in. Jesus corrected their perspective 2,000 years ago, and we've got an appointment with God this week because he's going to correct ours so that we can make sure that there's a straight path to Easter. I shared this story before, but some time ago, a friend of mine, his name was Darwin, when Hotel Street was the main thoroughfare for prostitution, had found some of the prostitutes, one of them he led to the Lord, and he wasn't here. It was just a kind of a short-term thing. And before he left, one of them said, hey, why don't you start a church here? Because I've got a lot of friends that are seeking God. And they're not Christians yet, but we're hurting. And this is the only thing that we know how to do, but I've got some friends that are seeking God, and they're hurting. And he said, oh, no. He said, I can't really start a church here on Hotel Street. He says, there's a lot of churches here in the city you can go to. And then the prostitute looked at him and said, you tell me what church I can go to that I'd look like this and they'll accept me in. What church can I go to as soon as they find out who I am? Tell me what church will allow me to serve in Sunday school, even though I've come to know Christ and my life has changed. When they know who I am, what I've been doing, what I've been into, tell me which one can I trust the men to give a godly affection to me without any strings attached? What church can I go to and they'll embrace me and love me and welcome me in? What church? And if I brought any of my friends, what church will accept them in? And my friend Darwin said, you know, that's true. I don't know if there's any that might. And then she said something that I've never forgotten. She said this, then tell me, why should my friends accept your Jesus? For when we do, there'd be no place for us to go. And when he told me that, it just burned in my head, and I've never forgotten that. And you see, that's what Jesus came on that day to correct the purpose of the church. And he said, you've taken up the court of the Gentiles with your own commerce. You've turned this into a robber's den when it's supposed to be a house of prayer for all nations. And he corrected their purpose. And when those three things start to correct, then people can find their way home through a pretty narrow gate. And the Lord says, and that's the church. For you are the pillar and support of the truth. And when he dials that in, then people will come from all nations to find their place and at home with Christ. But let's all this week go out to the highways and byways and each one reach one. To invite one family, one person, a friend, a loved one, someone that's seeking God, someone that may not be a Christian, but they're seeking God. There's something that you know that they're struggling with, and they just may need to know the Lord. And let's do that. Let's dial in our expectation of why God came, to repair hearts. If he doesn't do that, we missed the whole thing. And our perspective, that we want to make sure that we're honoring God, even through exuberance, God's created us to worship and to sing out. And that's what we're going to do this week. And a place for those who are seeking God, our purpose as a church, to make room. And when we do that, then God starts to bring them in by the harvest. And that's why the Pharisees said, you're always bringing these people with you in tow, the people of the world. And when he came to the temple, there was no room for them. Well, we want to find a place here at New Hope where there's lots of room for them, because the King of Kings is waiting with open arms. And he's asking us to be his couriers, his lights, people that'll guide them in. And our response to that, our reception to that is, yes, Lord, we will. With an appointment with God, our reception is, we will dial in our hearts so that we can show many the way home. Use us, O Lord, we pray. Is that your prayer? Amen. Yeah, let's do that. Would you stand with me as we conclude today? Thank you. How many of you came to New Hope, came to the Lord somehow, because somebody invited you somewhere along the line? Raise your hand. Yeah, look at that. That's like 98% of us. And the same way the Lord says, you do the same with somebody else. And they'll be one day standing here doing the same thing, saying, because you invited me, I'm here. Let's pray. Lord, thank you so much for giving us a great church whose hearts are being calibrated so that we can help others find their way to safety with you. Lord, you said that we would be the pillar and support of the truth. And so dial in, recalibrate our hearts, our expectations of you, our perspective, and our purpose. In doing so, the reception will be a resounding yes, Lord. Yes, yes. Welcome to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Father, we pray that you'll seal these things to our hearts as we go from this place. We want to say thank you for your touch on our lives and inviting us to the kingdom of God's banquet and eternal life. In Jesus' name we pray. And everyone says, amen. Let's thank the Lord, would you? And let's sing again. Yeah. you have a great, great day.
You have just heard the conclusion of a message entitled An Appointment with God by Pastor Wayne Cordero. Thank you for listening to Words of New Hope. Until next time, for Pastor Wayne Cordero, this is Del Gibbs wishing you a great day in the Lord and aloha. To support this radio ministry as we continue to spread the good news of Jesus Christ. You can give online at enewhope.org. Just click on the Giving tab and designate your gift for the radio and TV ministry. As you do, Philippians 4:17 says, "The fruit of this ministry will abound to your account." Aloha.